Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Masachet Gittin, Daf Yod Tet Amud Aleph, near the top of the Amud, Mishnah Gimel of the second Perek. And as I mentioned, we are now really in the thick of things as far as Hechsher HaGet, what a proper get is. And now we're going to talk about the mechanics a little bit. Bakol Kotvim, you can use any sort of ink to write with. Bidyo, which is regular ink. Besam, which is a kind of a paint. Besikra, which is a kind of a red paint. Of a komos of a kankantom, which the Gemara will discuss. Of a hold of our shushal kayama, anything that lasts. Now, en kodvin loba mashkin vloba meperot. You can't use liquids like water or fruit juices. But the loba hold of our sheinomit kayama, and anything else that doesn't last. Very straightforward. That's as far as the ink goes. Now, as far as what you can write on. Al hakol kodvin, you can write on anything. Al hale shal zayit, you can write on an olive leaf. The al hakeren shel para, you can write on the horn of an animal. V'notein la tapara, but then you have to give her the animal. That's something that we will deal with in the next Mishnah. Al yad shel eved notein la ta'eved, you can write it on the hand of a slave, and then you have to give her the slave. Now, Yosef Gleithi Omer, he disagrees with the last three, and he says, Ein kotvin lo al davar sheish baruach chayim v'lo al ha'ochlim. You cannot write on anything that's alive, like the animal or the slave, and you cannot write on food, which would then probably exclude alei shel zayit. In the meantime, for today's focus is going to be on the mainly on the ink. So the first thing Gemara says is dio is diuta, which is ink, sam is sama, which is a paint, sikra amara rachana sikra tashma, it's called sikra tashma, it's a red paint. Komos is kuma, it's kind of a gum. The kankantom, what's that? Amara rachana amara shmuel. Charta de ushchepi. It's a boot, the kind of polish that is used by bootmakers. Now, v'chol davar shu mitkayem. Now, what the Mishnah said, you can use anything, including A, by B, C, D, and E, and anything that lasts. Latu yemai. What's that last phrase coming to include? Latu yehanatanya rabbi chanina. To include the following ruling. K'davo b'me tarya ve'aftza kasher. If you wrote it with juice made of gall nuts, or wine lees, then it's kasher. It's like dregs. Tanu Rabbi Chiya, k'tavo be'ever, let's say you used lead, or b'shachor, or b'shichor, or you used coal to write with it, kasher, to write to get, kasher. So again, anything. Now, itmar, watch this. Hamavir dyo agabe sikra b'shabbat. Let's say that you have something written in paint, and you then take ink and trace over it. Then Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish Damit Tavaya, they both agree, Chayav Shtayim, you're Chayav twice. Why? Achad Mishum Kotev, Achad Mishum Mochek. Because first of all, you've written, because ink is superior to red, to paint, and therefore it's considered writing. And the second one is because you've erased what's on the red paint. And it's Mochek, Amanat Lichtov, because you erased in order to write on top of it, essentially. Now, Dio agave dio, sikra agave sikra, if you wrote ink on top of ink, meaning you had written, your name or whatever it might be, and then you wrote it right on top of it on Shabbat with the same ink, or it was with inferior paint and used the same inferior paint, then patur. You're suddenly patur, you've not erased anything, and you haven't written anything, because ktav, agave ktav, writing on top of writing, the upper ktav is not considered a ktav. Now we'll see how that plays out. Sikra agave dio, what happens if you have ink and you write on top of it with the paint? Amri la chayav, rilam patur, it's a machloket, whether or not you're chayav or patur as far as Shabbat goes. Amri la chayav, some people say you're chayav, why? Mocheku, because effectively you're erasing the ink by putting this paint on top of it. Amri la patur, some people say you're patur, because as far as the erasure goes, makalkelhu, you're not erasing in a way that allows for writing, which is mochek amanat lichtov, but you're simply destroying it by putting this paint on top of it, and that's not a malacha. Now, boy, mina Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. That's all a setup for this question. Edim she'en yodim lachtom. If you have witnesses who don't know how to sign, we saw this earlier in the parak. Ma'u she'ichtavu lahem besikra v'yachtemu. Can we write with paint and have them sign on top of it with ink? And just write the letters out in this inferior thing. So like we would trace with a pencil, and they'll now fill it in with ink. The question is, ktav al yon ktav o en oktav? Is the upper, is the overwriting considered a ktav or not? Are they considered to be writing or not? Amar le en oktav, Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't work. Amar le ba'alodim atan rabbeinu rebbe, you taught us ktav al yon ktav l'inyan Shabbat. You taught us that if you write on top of writing, right? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? That if you write with dio on top of sikra on Shabbat, you chayav twice. So Amar le mechim neisha anu medamin naseh maseh. Rabbi Yochanan says that was a theoretical discussion. Why? Because he's saying there is no Beit HaMikdash, and we're not executing anybody. So therefore, all issues of Chiyuv B'Shabbat are currently theoretical. And like Rashi points out, if in practice someone were to take something written in paint and on Shabbat write over it in ink, I would not tell them, and then they realized it was Shabbat, I would not tell them to bring a Korban Chatat and then possibly violate Chulin Mazara. Okay, and so therefore, in practice, with the get, we will not consider the upper writing to be writing. Now, Itmar, we have the following statement that we saw earlier. Eidim shein yodim lachtom, if you have witnesses who don't know how to sign their own names. Rav amar mekarin lahem niyar chalak, umemalim et hakaraim dio. You cut into the paper, and you let the, to the image of their signature, and let them fill it in with ink, and that's called signing. Ushmuel amar be'ever. Shmuel says you don't cut, but rather you outline it with lead and then let them fill it in. How can you say that? We just got through saying that Rabbi Chiya taught that if you write it with lead, among other things, it's still kasher, which means you've already written their names, and their writing on top of it is nothing. So lo kasha habi ivra habi maya de ivra. With the ruling of Rabbi Chiya was if you used lead, you used a piece of lead to write, like coal, it's going to make an image. Maya de'iver means you took water and soaked lead in it, now the water got all black, and you took the water and wrote, but that's not called tav, that's just outlining for them, and they can write. Rabbi Avahu Amar, he has another solution, which is b'mei milin. You can use this kind of gallnut juice. We already learned that that's kasher. So how can you outline it for them in a ktav that's already kasher? The answer is, if you haven't worked over the parchment, then indeed writing it b'mei milin is itself a ktav. But if you've already worked it, worked over and processed the parchment, which you do with this particular juice, then writing it with that kind of juice on it is nothing. She'ein milin, mei milin, agabei mei milin, because after all, since you work over the parchment with this kind of juice, then if you write their names in that juice, it's not going to show up. Therefore, that's not a ktav, and therefore they can use that to trace it. Perhaps when you first put it down, they could see the image. Now, Rav Papa Amar Baruch, he has another solution. You put spittle down. Rav Papa taught Papa, the cattle salesman, Baruch. He said, that's what you should do when you write the documents. If you your witnesses don't know how to sign their name, you outline it with spittle and then have them fill it in. And that certainly is not ktav. Now, all that is said, v'hanimila begitin. That's only true about gitin, where we're always trying to smooth out the process of getting the get done to prevent igun, to prevent the woman from being chained and unable to marry. Habavashtarotlo, with a regular star, we say no. We don't do that. We say if we have witnesses who don't know how to sign the names, go find other witnesses. We heard a story about a fellow who set up this rigged signature with another kind of star, Vinagde Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana had him whipped for violating the protocol of the Beit Din. Now, Tanya Kavate to Rav. We have a brayta that supports Rav's position against Shmuel, which is that in such a case, we cut into the star and have them fill in with ink. Edim shein yodin lachtom. This is what the brayta that we saw earlier. If you have witnesses who don't know how to sign, k'vekarin la'en niyar chalak malim et hakraim dio. You cut into the, you make an incision into the paper, and they fill it in. That's only true about get. And this we saw in the first parak in the context of which things get and shtar shichur have in common. Shimon Gamliel said, when it comes to any other star, including shtar shichur, im yodim likot v'lachtom chodmin v'im lav ein chodmin. If they know how to write and read and write and sign, then they do, and if not, we don't allow them to. Now, the problem, of course, in that bright, as we saw then, was that the Tanakhama never mentioned the issue of reading, mentioned the issue of signing. Kriyam on Nachar Shema, since one was reading mentioned, says was Chasur Mechzer Vachaktani. The Braita is a little deficient. Here's how it should read. Edim She'en Yodin Likrot, Korin Lifneim Bechotmin. If witnesses don't know how to read, then what happens? We read the star in front of them, and they sign. V'She'en Yodin Lachtom, but if they don't know how to sign, then we cut it open, and Rishim Gamliel said it's only true about Gittin. Shem Gamliel said simply, if you have witnesses who are unable to read or to write or to sign their names, we don't allow them to participate in any shtar, except for Gita Nashim, in which case we read in front of them if they don't know how to read, and if they don't know how to sign, we cut it open and cut the image of their names. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, my Tamar Rosh Hashim Gamliel, why does Rosh Hashim Gamliel distinguish between Gita Nashim and every other shtar? Shall be known to Yisrael Agunot, to prevent Igun. In other words, theoretically, this is something that should be able to work everywhere. Rosh Hashim Gamliel does not want us to employ it, and we should have proper witnesses, but we have the luxury. You want to take a loan, Vakasha, get proper witnesses. Your witnesses don't know how to read? Go get some other witnesses. You'll get the loan tomorrow. But when it comes to Gittin, we really do want to smooth out the process. Now, I'm a Rava. Rava said, Allah Hakam Mishim Gamliel. We follow Mishim Gamliel, which means we do not allow the rigged signature in the case of any other star. Rav Gamda Mishmei de Rava Amar. Now, somebody else quoted Rava as saying, Ein Allah. Because Rava said, Allah Hakam Mishim Gamliel, but somebody said he actually said, Ein Allah. So, Ve'ala Kaman, then who's Allah like? Rabbanan. So how can you say halachas karabana, which means we allow the rigged signature for every star? We have the story where a person used the rigged signature for some other kind of star, and Rav Kahana whipped him, which means we don't allow it. So the answer is tirgama akriya. In other words, the machloket between these two lashonot about Rava, about halachas Mishim Gamliel, is simply about illiteracy. In other words, do we rule like Rav Shimon Gamliel that we will only read a get for illiterate witnesses and let them sign? Or do we say like Rabbanan, we will read any shtar for illiterate witnesses and have them sign? But everybody agrees that we will not allow the rigged signature for other shtarot, only for get. And that's what Rav Kahana had the fellow punished. Now, Rav Yehuda, here's a story. Rav Yehuda, Mitztayer Kari V'chatim. He was evidently old and he had problems with his eyesight. It was hard for him to read the star and the sign. So, Amar Le'ula, Lo Tzricha, don't worry about it. Taha Rav Elazar Mara de Eretz Yisrael. Rav Elazar in Eretz Yisrael, he's the chief rabbi. Karu Kamei V'chatim. You know what? He has people read the star in front of him and he signs it. He doesn't have to read it. He has people around him that he trusts. They read it. And that's good enough. From Nachman, in Rav Nachman here in Bavel, Karu Kamei Safri Dayani V'chatim. He would have the scribes of his Beit Din read, and he would sign. Now, parenthetically, V'dafka Rav Nachman V'Safri Dayani. It's only Rav Nachman and the expert scribes. Why? D'ilo Emata. They are afraid of Rav Nachman, so much so that they would be very terrified to change by one iota what it is they're reading from what they represent orally. Rav Nachman V'Safri Achrinim, if it was Rav Nachman and some other scribes, or Safri Dayani V'Inish Achrinim, if it was these expert scribes but some other rabbi, lo. Then he would say, no, perhaps they're not reading carefully, and then therefore he cannot sign based on what they've presented to him. He does have to read it. Rav Papa Kev'ati L'Kameh Shtara Parsa'a. When a Parthian star would come before him, a Persian star would come before him, Da'avid Berchot Shalkutim, that was done in the non-Jewish courts, which you already said, a star like that is valid. Makri Lahu L'Shnei Kutim, he would call two non-Jews in, Zeh Shalo B'Fnei Zeh, he'd call them in independently, B'Mesiach L'Fitumo, and just say, hey, I have this document, can you tell me what it says? Because he wouldn't tell them it was testimony. Siach L'Fitumo is a halacha that we'll see in spades when we get to Chulin, but in many areas, we saw it also in Yevamot, about testimony from a non-Jew when he's just relating a story and doesn't know that he's testifying. So he'd call him in independently and say, hey, can you tell me what this says? And if what they both said was similar to each other and was what was being represented, he would allow even Nechasim Meshubadim to be collected based on that shtar. Amravashi, Amarli Ravuna Barnatan, Hachi Amar Meimar, Haishta Parsa Dechatim Alei Sadi Yisrael. What if you have a Persian star that's signed by Jewish witnesses? In other words, it's written in Persian. Magbinan Beim Meshabdi, you can use it to collect. Ah, Rahalo Yadi Lemikri, but the Jews don't know how to read Persian. The answer is Bidiyadi. We had this earlier. They're talking about a case where they do know. Vabainin Ktav Shenechol Izdayef. Ah, we need to have to make sure that it is a text that can't be forged later and changed later after the witnesses have signed. Valeka. Their documents aren't made on such fancy parchment. The answer is Bidafitzan, if we have such fancy parchment. In other words, this star is written on the kind of parchment that's been worked over, so it cannot be after the witness have signed, then the Baldin cannot go and change the numbers. We have a halach in shtarot to prevent any monkey business. You have to review the basic gist of the star in the last line, Valeika, and they don't do that. And the answer has been a mahadir. Let's say you had a star that the witnesses knew how to read, that was written on the proper kind of parchment, and reviewed the entire gist of the star at the very last line. So what's the point? What are you teaching me? Clearly, it's a good start. The answer is the Chol Lashon Kasher. You're trying to teach me that a star can be written in any language? Tanina Getchiktavo Ivrit Vedavi Vanit Vanit Vedavi Ivrit Kasher. We already have a brayta that says that if you have a get written in Hebrew and the witness is signed in Greek or vice versa, it's kosher. And we have no reason here to distinguish it in Greek and other languages, unlike in Hilchot Sefer Torah and the Sugya and Megillah. So, Imi Ahi Havi Amena Hanimile Begitin. Now, because that statement that talks about a get. And I would have thought that in a get, once again, we're willing to be expansive because we want to prevent igun. Avishar Shtarot Law. Maybe with other Shtarot, we insist that it be written in Hebrew. Kamash Malan, that you can use the Persian Shtar as long as all of those conditions are met. Okay. Now, Amar Shmuel. This is now a new piece. Natan lan liyar chalak. If a man gave his wife a blank piece of paper, and said, this is your get. Now, of course, there has to be something written on it. Megureshet. We said, the halacha is, she's divorced. Why? Chashinan shema memilin ktavo. We're concerned that maybe he wrote it with that kind of nut juice, which then disappeared. Metavei. So now watch this. Harezekitech. If a man says to his wife, here's your get, and he gives it to her. Unetalto uzraktolayam. And then she threw it into the sea. Ola ur, into the fire. Ola choldavar haved. She destroyed it in some way. She was angry. And then he said, turned around and said, it wasn't a get. It was a shtar pasim, shtar manahu. These are different kind of shtarot that have no inherent value. They're sort of like sureties. We saw them in the second parak of Ketubot and Daf Yud Zayin. Megureshet. In other words, he said it's not a get. Nonetheless, she's megureshet. Why? He doesn't have the right to, after she's destroyed it, change the meaning of what he said and said, aha, now you're still a surah to me and you're still not free to marry somebody else. So tama di kachtav. But why does that work? Only because there was really something written. It was a written get, and he handed it to her. Halei kachtav lo, but if nothing's written, then we're not concerned that it really is a get. So how could Shmuel say, if you give a blank piece of paper, we're concerned it's a get, and then it may have been written in disappearing ink? So the answer is, kikamar Shmuel, the badkinan leva maya denara. Shmuel says that we're talking about a case where we actually check out the text, and we see whether or not there really was this quote-unquote invisible ink or whatever it is. It's a particular kind of color that we put on to bring it out. Now, e-poly-poly, if the text then appears, fine. V-lo-poly, if not, then lav-klumu, then it's nothing. So, v-chi-poly, my have, what does it help if it shows up? Hashtag-poly, it's only appearing now, which means that when he gave it to her, there was nothing there. So the answer is Shmuel Nami Chashinan Kamar. Shmuel didn't say she's divorced. He said Chashinan, which means that if she wants to stay married to this guy, then they may have to do another Kiddushin. But, and if he's a Kohen, they probably cannot reunite. But on the other hand, if she really wants to marry somebody else, they do need another get. So it's a chashash that it might be a get. Now, Amar Avina, Amar Li Ameimar, Meimar told me, Hachi Amar Mareimar Mishmei Derav Dimi. Hani Beitrei Diyayiv Gita Kamayu. If there's two people and a get is given in their presence, Tzricha L'mikre, they have to read it. So Meitave, and we go back and challenge it with what we just read. If a guy gives his wife a get, and she throws it away and destroys it, and then he says it wasn't really a get, she's still divorced, and he doesn't have the ability to prohibit her and keep her as a wife, as it were, prohibit her as an ish, just because he says so. But if you say the witnesses have to read it, how could he even open his mouth and say Shtar Hamana if they already read it? Think about that. He gives her a get, which according to what you said, they had to have read themselves and saw that it was a get. So why would he even open his mouth and say Shtar Hamana, Shtar Pasim? So, lo tzricha debata de karyua aile leve yade ve'afke. We could talk about a case where he handed it to the witnesses, they read it. He took it back for a minute and put it into his sleeves and took it out. Maybe he's playing tricks and he took out a different star. And then she took this other star and threw it away. And maybe we should be concerned. The answer is, Kamash Pulan, we don't have such concerns. The get is the get and zel. Hahu Garra Dazarak La Gita Ladavitu Leveni Dani. There was a fellow who had a get and he threw it to his wife between a bunch of barrels of something. He threw it and she didn't catch it. So she went to pick it up. Ishtakach Mezuzta. She found a mezuzah there. Nachman Mezuzta Beni Dani Lo Shchicha. Rav Nachman said, you never find a mezuzah between the barrels of wine. So that must have been what he had, and that's what he threw. And there's no get, and she's 100% not divorced without question. And even if he's a Kohen, they can remain married, etc. He said, that's only if you find one. of Bet Vigimel, if you find a few mezuzot around there, midahahave hanami have. After all, since these other ones were there earlier, because we only saw one thing get thrown, all of them were there, meaning even the one that we picked up is not the one that he threw. Vigita emarach barim shaklu. It must be that he really had a get, because he said a rezigiteich, and it must have gotten eaten up by rats or something else. Now, who gavra da alav echnishta? A guy walked into a shul. Shakal sefer Torah yoyv ladavitu. He took a sefer Torah out, gave it to his wife. Marla hagiteich, this is your get. Because after all, in the thing it says, sefer kritut. Yosef the mighty nechushla. Rav Yosef said, why should we have any concerns? Clearly not gerushin. And what are the different possible things you could argue that would make it gerushin that aren't? Imishum me milin. If you think that maybe in the margins of the Sefer Torah, he wrote it on Memilin, and Memilin, I'll go by Memilin. That won't work because after all, the Sefer Torah is worked over like a parchment with this kind of juice, which means if you write with that kind of juice on top of it, that's not called Ktab. Imishum Kritut Te'itpa, if you think because it says inside Sefer Kritut, Habayinim Chatav La Lishma, you have to write a get Lishma for that particular woman. If you want to think maybe this guy, a very devious guy, went and brought a coin to the sofer who was writing the Sefer Torah and said, when you get to Kitetze and you write that parsha, have in mind me and my wife, etc. You want to think such a thing? After all, one of the requirements of a get is that you have to have your name and her name and the name of the city and her city, and they're not in there. They're clearly not in the Sefer Torah. So clearly there's nothing to worry about when a guy takes a Sefer Torah and says to his wife, it says, Harezikitech. Yosef, my Kamashman, so what's Rav Yosef teaching? Shein Meimilin, I'll go by Meimilin. He's just trying to teach the principle that Meimilin aren't called Ktav on top of Meimilin, which means that if you gave her the Sefer Torah, you should not be concerned that he wrote in that kind of juice on top of the margin, a proper Nusach of a get. We have no such concern because even if he did so, that's not called Ktav. Amar Rav Chista, get Shektavo Shelo Lishma, Vevir Alav Kulmus Lishma. Let's say a guy wrote a get, Shelo Lishma, he wrote a get with all the proper names, but he didn't have this woman in mind. And now that couple happens to show up. He heard a rumor that they were breaking up, so he wrote a get. Then they show up. If he just passes the pen, the quill, over it, Lishma, will that validate it? He says, Banu l'machloket Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. That comes to a machloket in the laws of Safrut between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. What's that, Tanya? Let's say that you came to a spot in the Sefer Torah where you had to write Yod and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey. And then you, by accident, intended to write Yehuda, which is Shem Hashem with a Dalet in the middle. And then you messed up and you wrote Yehuda deficient without the Dalet. In other words, you wrote Shem Hashem, but you didn't write it for the purpose of Shem Hashem. The Rebbe Yehuda says, all you have to do is take Yod and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey that you wrote with the missing Dalet, and you just have the quill go over it. You don't have to rewrite it. Chacham say, this is not ideal, which is a way of saying that it's really not okay. So Rav Chista suggests the same thing should apply to a get. If you wrote a get Shelo Lishma, Rebbe Yehuda would say, pass the quill over it, over the letters, and it's Lishma. And Chacham say, no, you got to write a new one. That's what he thinks. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Dilmalohi said, perhaps the alignment is not accurate. Ad kan lo kam Rabbanan hatam. Perhaps the Rabbanan in the case of Sefer Torah said it's invalid because the Baina Zei Livyan Vehu. A Sefer Torah has to be beautiful, has to be done properly, and this is not proper, therefore it's not kosher. Faleika, but that only applies to something like a Sefer Torah. Aval Hacha lo. But here, when it comes to get, maybe they would agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Amar Rav Chista, Yachil no Mifsilino Lechule Gita da Alma. Rav Chista makes this, extravagant statement that I could passel all gittin. Amalei Rava. So Rava said to my timer, how would you do that? Because it says the man has to write the get. And evidently the custom was that the woman pays the sofer for the get, which means she's really writing it. But perhaps the Rabbanan took that money and sort of transferred it to him so it's on his credit. Hefker beitin hefker, not a problem. Because as Venatan, and the assumption is that he has to give her something of value. And after all, he's giving her nothing. Because every time the Torah says Natan, there's something of value. Here it says Venatan biyada, the Sefer Kritut has to be something of value. And here, he doesn't have to give her anything of value, or they generally don't. So Dilma Natan Geti. So Rava says maybe that's referring not to giving something of value, but giving the get. Teda the Shalchu Mitam, and as well, I'll prove it to you because Eretz Yisrael, they sent us a message. Tavol Isurei Hana'a, if you wrote a get on Isurei Hana'a, like on a leaf from a Kilayim vine, Kasher, it's valid, which proves to you that the thing can be worth absolutely nothing, then what you have to give her is the get, not anything of value. And so therefore, Rav Chista's extravagant claim was defeated. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up here in the middle of the sugya in the next podcast and go to Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, completing our discussion of the issues at hand.